Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're in a little series we've entitled Everyday Choices. What are the choices you and I have to make every day of our life? Last week we talked about faith or fear. Are we going to live by faith or are we going to live by fear? The writer in Deuteronomy says, listen, today, God says to the children of Israel, I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Every day God gives you a choice. You can live the life that he has for you or you can live in disaster. So we talked about faith or fear. Today what we're going to talk about is hope or hopelessness. Hope or hopelessness. Faith is an action. Hope is an attitude that you and I have because of who we are in Christ. You can't have hope without faith. Now, let me just define hope for you so that we're all on the same page, and I'm going to give you a biblical definition. When you take the word hope according to Scripture, and when you look at the original meaning of it, it simply means a confident expectation. It's something that I expect that I am confident in. It's the promise of something better yet to come. There's a quote that goes around that says something like this. You can live 40 days without food. You can live 8 days without water. You can live 4 minutes without air, but you can't live a second without hope. Hope keeps life alive. And so let's look at it this morning, and we're going to begin with me describing hopelessness. What does it mean to be hopeless? Now, the word hopeless doesn't appear in the dictionary of heaven. It's always hope. It's always positive. Hopelessness says, well, you know what? If something can go wrong, it will. Things are never going to change. I don't see any way out. I can't take any more. I deserve better than this. I'll never recover. My life is ruined. I deserve this. I'll never make it. That's hopelessness. It's not going to be any better. I don't know why to go on. You just look at the future. When you looked at the future, all you see are problems. There's a little progression that goes on. It begins with a desire. Now, here's where we get into problems. There's a word for desire. There's two words for desire that I'm going to give to you that we mix up that are not the same. One is wish and one is hope. A wish is not a hope. Hope is not a wish. Wish is, well, I want this. I hope I win the lottery. No, you wish you did, but that's not a confident expectation, is it? And so we use that word hope many times when we're saying is, I just wish. I wish I could get a little better job. I wish things would be better for me. I wish I could find the right person. I wish I could get in the right place. And so you have wishes, expectations in life that you want. They're not hopes, but we call them that. But you have this wish, this desire. After that, you get disillusioned. It doesn't start to happen. It's not working out. It's not going the way you want it to. And then you got disappointment. Well, you know what? I guess it's never going to work. And then you get discouraged. And then you get depressed. Anybody ever walked through that? We all have, haven't we? And it begins with this. We have a wish. We call it a hope. It's not. And so wishes are hopeless. There's a scripture in Ephesians. It says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, people without God. They are hopelessly confused. Hopeless, confusion. Those words go together. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Because when we have wishes and when those wishes don't get granted, who do we blame for that? Too many times we blame God, don't we? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why is this going on? Why is all this taking place? They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. In other words, I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I want life to go my way. And so hopelessness is a life lived believing a lie. Hopelessness is a life lived where I think things should be a certain way and I want them to be a certain way and they're not going the way I think they should go, and therefore, what's the use? And we live in a world where hopelessness is prevalent. But as a Christian, Christians live life that are never hopeless. Life for us is always full of hope. It's positive. It looks to the future, and it has a confident expectation. When I look to the future, boy, if you look at what the political people say and what's going on and what you read in the paper and what you see in the screen before you or what you listen to or post or read other people's posts, life looks hopeless, doesn't it? I mean, the planet's going to pot, literally. Yeah, okay. And, you know, it's hopeless. Why bother? No, it's not. We always have hope. Because we have a confident expectation of a great future. So, what does that look like? Why can I have that? Let me just describe hope for you, where it comes from, what it's about, and why we are hopeful people. First of all, let's look at the source. The source of our hope is God. We have hope because of God and who He is. Now, I'm going to kind of list some things here for you because they all encompass God and who He is. First of all, it's God's character. You see, God cannot lie. God always tells the truth. God always keeps His promise. And therefore, I have hope because God has said, I have a great future. God has said the future is in His control and everything's going to work out according to His plan. And therefore, I trust Him because He's trustworthy. Psalm 39, so Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in You. My only hope is in You. Psalm 42, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Life gets hopeless when God is out of the picture. And in our lives, we get discouraged, as the writer here says, when we get our eyes on the stuff and get our eyes off of God. And so he recognizes, why am I this way? Hold it, I need to back up. I need to put my hope in God. I'm going to start praising Him again. He's my God. Secondly, God's commands. God's word. God, not my preferences, not what I think, but God's word. You can trust God's word. It always tells you the truth. And so what it says gives me hope. Psalm 25, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Now you see, that's a choice you got to make every day, isn't it? All day long, I'm not going to give in to what I listen to or what I hear or the conversations that go on around me. All day long, I will choose to put my hope in you. For Psalm 119, you're my refuge, my shield. Your word is my source of hope. I read God's word. It's truthful. It tells me what I need to know. I can trust in it and I can believe in it. Psalm 130, I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on Him. I have put my hope in His word. Now you see, the moment you begin to question God and what He says, hopelessness begins to enter into the picture of your life. The moment you begin to doubt God's word, hopelessness takes up residence. I can have hope because I believe God's word is true. And what I read there and what I learn from there, I know I can trust. So I can have hope, and the source of that hope is God. Why? Because of his character, because of who he is and what he does and what he's promised. I can believe in his word because his word gives me direction. It gives me principles of life. It shows me how to have wisdom. And then I put my hope in Jesus Christ. Who's God? God has sent his son for you and I so that we would have hope. Jesus Christ came into this world to give us hope for a future, to give us a confident expectation. I love this passage in Matthew chapter 12. Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He's my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. And his name will be the hope of all the world. His name. When you say Jesus, you're saying there's hope. When you say Jesus, life is filled with hope. Also, it's about the Holy Spirit. It's in his control. He's still working. He's still got things going in the right direction. Romans 15, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Now you see, when you have hope, you get to have joy and peace because the future looks good. Some of you got to work on that. Now, then, you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. What's the source of hope? God. His character, his nature, his personhood, his word, his son, his spirit. All of that works together to be the source of my hope. And when I put my hope in him, I have a confident expectation for the future. I can look at the future with peace. I can look at the future knowing God is in control. God has promised this one's going to happen. It's not, well, I really wish everything's going to work out. No, I know everything's going to work out because of who God is and what he's promised and what he said. And therefore, I am never hopeless. I always have hope. There should be a lot more excitement in the room right now than what there is, because this world just is prevalent with hopelessness. We should be able to explain our hope. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, well, okay, I understand that, but why? I just don't know why it should be that way. Because you and I serve a God who is faithful, and he gives us hope. And I need to be able to share with everyone the hope that I have. My hope is not in who's going to get elected. My hope is not in the economy turning around. My hope is not in certain people treating me in certain ways. My hope is not about a job or my health. My hope is in God. And therefore, when I look like in the midst of all the turmoil, I still have joy and peace and confidence, I can tell you why. God is in control. I believe in him, and he will keep his word. And I know the future that I have in store for me. 1 Peter 3:14, even if you suffer for doing what's right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of people's threats. Instead, you worship the Lord, worship Christ, worship God. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. You should know why you have hope. Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit's alive in me. God's word is proven truthful. I know God and who he is and his character. And he has promised a future for me that I am guaranteed, and I believe it. But do this by shouting at people and telling them how bad they are and how they're going to burn in hell. Now, do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. You see, I don't have to panic in life. I've got hope. And every morning, every day when I wake up, I get to choose. Am I going to live this day full of the hope that God wants me to have, or am I going to live like one of the hopelessly confused people in this world? My call, my choice, Jesus Christ, the Lord of my life, living for him, knowing his promises, he's going to take care of me, he's got a future for me. I'm not living just for the moment, I'm living for him. And in Jeremiah, the prophet says this, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God gives us a future. God gives us a hope. And so I live with eternity in mind. I live understanding this world is not my home. I can tell that to people. I can say to people, they ask me, well, how can you be happy in the midst of all that's going on? It's very simple. See, what's going on is not really the truth of everything, because what's going on is unseen. And we serve a God who, even though I can't see him, I believe in him and I trust him, and he has promised me that he's going to take care of me in the future. That's the confidence we have as Christians. Because hope, then, is our shelter. Now, you and I understand shelters. It's hurricane season. And when a hurricane season comes, what do they tell you when one is coming into this area? Find shelter. And thus, there's a max exodus of people leaving this community. And I've always wondered, you know, how is it good to get everybody out of town when they're all stuck on the interstate in one way and the storm comes? You know, that just doesn't make all sense to me. But what are we looking for? We're looking for a place of safety, aren't we? We're looking for a shelter. And thus, I serve a God who is my shelter in the midst of the storms. The God who will protect me. The God who will take care of me. Job, going through a difficult time, here's what's said. Having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and will rest in safety. The Bible also calls this a place of refuge. It's a place where I can go, where God will take care of me and provide for me. Oh, I'm looking for that place, Pastor. I need a place where I can go, where I won't have any more problems, and all the problems I'm going through will go away, and all the issues I got to deal with, I don't have to deal with anymore. Would you tell me where that place is? Yes, I will. That place is called heaven. You're not there yet. For now, you're going through some hard times. But you see, hard times don't last. Hard times aren't the reality of what the future holds. Right now, we go through the difficulties, the pain, the problems. We get discouraged if we're not careful. Why? Because we start wishing for things instead of hoping for things. God is my hope. The future is promised. It's secure, I'm safe, and I have a confident expectation. I kind of look at it like this. No matter what happens, I win. I win. Yes, it's hard sometimes. Yes, it's difficult, but I still win. Yes, life presents to us all kinds of issues that you and I have to address that we wish we didn't have to. I win. There's this shelter that I have, that in the midst of it all, no matter how much the storm rages around me, I am not hopeless. I have hope. Psalm 62, let all that I am wait quietly inside, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. He's our shelter. And therefore, when I go through those hard times and difficulty, not only my refuge, but I have a place of stability. I don't have to get tossed around by all the seas. I don't have to get tossed around by all the waves that are going on around me, by all the issues, up one moment, down the next, the market's up, the market's down. What's the market going to do? Oh, no, recession. Oh, no, do this. Oh, no, what's here? Oh, can't go here. No safety there. No safety there. And you and I, if we're not careful, we just begin to set out in the storm and get blown about by everything that comes along in our way. But you see, because I've got hope, I've got a stability in life that those things don't have to shake me. Those things don't have to allow me to panic. Here's what the writer to Hebrews says. God has given us both His promise and His oath. And remember His word, remember His character, remember His nature. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge, that's us, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. God is with me. God will take care of me. God will take me safely home. I don't have to be afraid. I have hope because of God and who He is and what He said. And when the storms of life come, I have a place of safety that I can go that anchors me in life. That means I don't have to get shaken by all that's going on and start drifting with the rest of the world. I can remain safe in the arms of God because, as the hymn writer put it, we have shelter in the time of the storm. Finally, hope stretches beyond this life. Oh, Pastor, you're just saying this today. You're kind of being a Pollyanna about things. You're not in reality what's going on. Are you talking about something where we just escape from what's going on in this world? Yeah, I am. Are you talking about something that we just live and, you know? No. We still know what's going on. We still do what we can do. But we also understand that there is more to it than what we see. And here's how Paul writes about this in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're to be pitied more than anybody else in the world. We're believing a lie. I mean, if this is all there is, and you've only got hope for this moment, and if all your hope is based on, I want it now, and I want to see it this moment, and I want to be out of this place, and I want to be different, I want to be protected, I don't want problems. If that's all the hope you've got, it's pitiful. It's a wish. But you see, our hope goes farther than this life, because this life is not all there is. Because one day we will leave this earth, and we will leave this body, and we will be with God forever, and we have an eternal home that you and I live for. Amen. Psalm 16. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Proverbs. Don't envy the sinners. Always continue to fear the Lord. You will be rewarded for this, and your hope will not be disappointed. Your hope will not be disappointed. God says, I'm going to take care of you. It's about a great future that we have. This Romans chapter 8 is all about this very subject, by the way. I've condensed it down. We still got a few verses here, but they're just critical verses that I want to make sure you get and understand. He says, all creation, not just us, all creation is eagerly waiting for a future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. What kind of hope? Eager. For we know all creation's been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. And if we already have something, we don't have to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and with a lot of fear. Confidently. Titus 2:11. The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. We look forward to that day. We long for that day. It comes because we know where our source is. It comes because we have. Now you see, for you and I, if you're a Christian here this morning, you are living a Hallmark movie. Because all Hallmark movies are the same. You start with people involved in life, right? And they go through all kinds of issues and difficulties, don't they? You know, well, we got this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem. But there's one thing about a Hallmark movie you can always count on. You always live happily ever after. For the Christian, you will live happily ever after. That's hope. That's hope. A confident expectation. And so this morning, we're going to take communion. Because communion reminds us of our hope. Look at what Christ has done. Look at who he is. Look at what he's promised to us. And we remind ourselves, he has died for my sins. He has given to me a life that is filled with hope. And because I have put my faith in him, I have hope for tomorrow. I have hope for the future. And maybe you're here today and you don't have that hope. Maybe you're here and you haven't given your life to Christ yet. And this would be the moment to do that. So could I just take a moment and pray with you? Just bow our heads, if we will. Father, this morning, pray for anyone in this room who hasn't made a commitment to you. and they're living life by their own wisdom, by their own wishes. They're living life in a world that is just seemingly unstable in every area. And they understand that. They're looking for some place that they can put their life that's going to be stable and protected and taken care of. Lord, would you help them to be willing to ask you to forgive them of sins? Would you help them to come to a place where they will stop living for themselves and start living for you? And would you fill them with hope? And Lord, as the rest of us take these next few moments and celebrate the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ, would you remind us again how life is to be lived every day? And every day we make a choice. I'm either going to live with hope or hopelessness. Would you help us, Christians, to remind ourselves we always get to live with hope in our lives? Thank you. In thy name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.